This morning, my dad has given me the opportunity to speak, so I'm just going to dive right into the word today. Dad's been talking a lot about moving forward. He's been on the series of moving forward. And the cool thing about that is I just know that this moving forward message is really God-ordained, because even our home church in Fresno, they're talking about forward this morning. Another minister that we're connected with, Kenneth Copeland, he's been talking about moving forward. So I just know that in this season, in this time, God is wanting us to move forward. He's wanting us to forget the past and just move forward, because there are better things. Say better things.
Better things.
There are better things for us. If God wants to move us forward, it just means he wants to move us into something bigger. And if we're going to move into something bigger, we're just going to have to forget about the past. We're just going to have to move on with what God has for us today. And I'm just going to continue talking about forward. I'm going to continue on this same subject of moving forward. But what I wanted to talk about is how do you move forward after so many setbacks? How do you move forward after so many disappointments? How do you move forward after a shattered past, after a devastating blow? How many of you guys have had setbacks? Either financially, mentally, physically, you might have had a setback in your health, relationally, your heart was broken. I'm just a 20-year-old kid, so I haven't experienced a lot of life, but even at a young age, I've experienced a lot of setbacks. I know that I've experienced setbacks financially, relationally, you name it, I've been there. And I can only imagine what you guys have gone through with your lives. How many setbacks have you guys had? Has anybody had setbacks in this place? Any pain, anything that you've gone through? A lot of times, the thing that stops us from moving forward is our past. The thing that stops us from moving forward is our experience. A lot of times, I've had to fight this so much that life experience tries to teach you something. God is trying to teach you something, but life is also trying to teach you something. Life is trying to teach you about setbacks. Life is trying to teach you about devastation. Life is trying to teach you about heartbreaks. Right. It's trying to teach you about financial setbacks. It's trying to teach you about sickness. But then God has a word that's trying to teach you about prosperity. God's word tries to teach us about love. God's word tries to teach us about a promising future. But how do we move forward after experiencing so much setbacks, after experiencing so much loss? If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, if you have your Bibles. And we're going to talk about the story of Lazarus today. And a lot of you guys know the story of Lazarus, so I'm not going to read the whole story, but I'm just going to point out some scriptures. But before we get into that, I wanted to give you this completely hypothetical situation, all right? Before we get into the story, I just wanted to open up with a hypothetical situation. Everyone say hypothetical.
Hypothetical.
Now, hypothetically speaking, again, it's completely hypothetical, but what if God were to speak to you one day and ask you a question? What if he were to say, hey, what's 2 plus 2? What would you guys tell him? Come on, speak back. What would you guys tell him? It's 4, right? We don't have to talk about mathematics today, right? We understand that 2 plus 2 is 4. We don't have to go over addition. Okay. So 2 plus 2 is 4. And what if God were to ask you, hey, what's 2 plus 2? We would say what?
4.
4, right? So, but what if, hypothetically, God were to say no? The answer is not 4, it's 5. Again, completely hypothetical. What if God were to say no, the answer is not 4, it's 5, because I'm God and I can make up whatever, I can do whatever I want. What would you say to that? I don't know about you, but I would say, God, that doesn't make sense. God, that doesn't add up. Again, hypothetically. God, that just doesn't add up. Say, it doesn't add up.
It doesn't add up.
Now, the reason I gave you that completely hypothetical situation is because a lot of times it's like that with the Word of God. God will say one thing, but your past experience doesn't add up to what he says. God will say in the scripture, for example, you're the healed of the Lord. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. But your life experience has said, no, I'm always going to be sick. I have a doctor appointment, and then next month I'm going to have to be at the doctor's. Next month I'm going to have to be at the doctor's because I'm a sick person. I'm always dealing with sickness. But God is saying you're the healed, and your life is saying, no, you're not healed. What about when God says wealth and riches are to be stored up into your home, but your situation says, no, that's just not me. I'm the kind of person that barely gets by. I'm the kind of person that barely makes it. Because life has taught you just to make it, but God is trying to teach you something different. Or what about when God says, there's fullness of joy in my presence, but life hasn't taught you that. Life has taught you, No, I've been through too many heartbreaks to experience full joy. I've been through too many things to experience that. Church is more of a chore than it is for a joy. So what do you do when God's word says one thing, but your situation says a completely different thing? What do you do when it doesn't add up? What do you do when it doesn't add up? Everyone say, it doesn't add up.
Doesn't add up.
See, God is always trying to push us forward, but our experience has always taught us otherwise. And a lot of people think God is a false advertiser because this Bible gives us a lot of promises. And a lot of times, people don't experience the promises. A lot of people think God's just a false advertiser. You know, he tells us about stuff. He tells us that he wants to have a good future. He tells us that he wants us to experience joy. But we don't always experience that. And I think the reason why is because people continually let their experience shape their beliefs. And we can't do that. We have to learn to move forward despite what you've experienced. And I want to talk about Lazarus. In John chapter 11, it gives us this story of a guy named Lazarus. You guys know the story, right?
Yeah.
Lazarus. So it talks about this guy named Lazarus, and one day he gets sick. We understand the story. In verse 1 it says, now a certain man was sick. Say sick.
Sick.
Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Verse 2 says, it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So Lazarus is sick. And then in verse 3 it says, therefore the sisters sent word to him, him being Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. They're kind of just telling Jesus, you know what? He's sick. What are you going to do about it? In verse 4, Jesus says this. I want you to notice in verse 4, it says, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he said, this sickness is not unto death. This sickness is not unto death, but it is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So Jesus is speaking truth right now. Anytime Jesus is speaking, you have to know he's speaking truth. He's telling good things. He's telling the future. He's prophesying to Lazarus, saying, Lazarus, you are not going to die. This is not going to end in death, but you're going to move forward, and you're going to bring God glory. So when Lazarus, Martha, Mary, when they hear about what Jesus said after he got sick, they must be excited. They must be like, yes, Lazarus, you are not going to die. You are going to move forward, and you're going to have a bright future. He said it himself. Jesus must be on his way to heal you. But we know the story, right? Let's move on. It says in verse 11, it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse 6, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. That's kind of weird to me. That doesn't make sense to me because if you really love them, it said that he loved them, so he stayed. To me, if I love somebody and I found out they're dealing with something, I'm going to rush to their side and I'm going to comfort them. I'm going to help them. But not Jesus. He has a different plan. He has a different point of view. And it's kind of odd to me, but we'll talk about what that means. Jesus, he waits 2 more days, and then he tells his disciples, let's go to Judea now. And we understand that in verse 14, it tells us that Lazarus died. In verse 14, it says that Jesus told his disciples plainly, Lazarus is dead, and we must go awake him. Now, to me, that's the kind of situation I'm talking about. Jesus said, this sickness is not going to end in death. But what happened? Lazarus died. He died, and Jesus was saying, this is not going to end in death. So Mary and Martha, they might be confused. They're like, God, you said that he wasn't going to end in death. You said that he had a future, but now we had to bury our brother. This doesn't add up. This doesn't make sense. God said one thing, but their situation said a completely different thing. Now, if you read the whole story, you'll find that Jesus comes to the city of Judea, and everyone is just disappointed. Everyone is heartbroken. They all say the same thing. Mary says this, Martha says this, and even the people say this. They tell Jesus, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. And that's the kind of mentality we all have. Well, if God would have been here, I wouldn't have had to go through that. If God really did love me, he would have came, he would have rescued me, I would have been okay. But what do we do when he doesn't come automatically? What do we do when he just doesn't come and rescue you so you never had to go through those things? Why did he stay 2 more days in the place where he was? If you really did love Lazarus, you would have thought that he would have just rushed to his side, but he didn't do that. And here's what happened. in verse, in chapter 39, or in chapter 11, verse 39, it talks about how Jesus, he went to the tomb because everyone's just disbelieving. Everyone is heartbroken, and Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus. Now, he went to the tomb of Lazarus, and in verse 39, it says, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." But then Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to Jesus, "Lord, by this time there's a stench." Say stench.
Stench.
"By this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." So Martha, as you can tell, doesn't believe that Jesus is about to resurrect him. If you were to read a couple of verses earlier, you would find out that Jesus told Martha plainly, "I'm going to resurrect Lazarus." And Martha's like, "Okay, I believe you." But in this verse, you find out that she doesn't believe it because Jesus tells them, "Move away the stone." And Martha says, "No, don't do that. It's going to stink. He's dead 4 days." Because Martha didn't want to go there. Martha didn't want to experience another setback. She lived through one setback, and she didn't want to experience another one. She was like, "Jesus, don't remove the tomb. He's already dead 4 days. Just don't go there." And a lot of times it's like that. This tomb represents an area in Martha's life where she's experienced disappointment, and she doesn't want to go there again. She doesn't want to experience that disappointment again. She doesn't want Jesus to move away that tomb and see her dead brother all over again. She doesn't want to experience this, so she plainly tells Jesus, "Don't do it. Because when you open that tomb, I know what's going to happen. You're going to try to resurrect him. Just like you said earlier, it wasn't going to end in death. But I already know what's going to happen. I've experienced this before. Don't open the tomb." And a lot of times, that's the problem with us. I know me, personally, I'll let you guys know that I've had a sickness for 17 years called asthma. And anytime I would hear a preacher talk about healing, I would be like, "Yeah, that's good. God's going to heal your sicknesses." But when they would come to me and tell me, "Do you believe Jesus is going to heal your sicknesses?" I would kind of just say, "Well, let's not talk about that. But don't talk about my sickness. Because I've been living with this for 17 years. I've prayed, I've asked God to take it away, and it just hasn't happened." And I kind of put a tomb in my heart saying, "You know what? I'm not going to talk about my sickness. Well, I believe God's going to heal your sickness, but let's just not go there with me because I've experienced disappointment in that area." And a lot of times in your lives, you put tombs in front of different things, in front of your financial situation. You don't believe God can make you financially wealthy because you've experienced a financial setback that just was devastating. So you don't even want to go there. Let's talk about someone else's finances. Don't talk about my finances because it stinks, because doubt always stinks. And Martha did not want Jesus to remove that tomb, the tomb, and see more disappointment. But this is what happens. I asked this question at the beginning, what do you do when it doesn't add up? And Jesus gives us the answer. When she said to Jesus, "Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days," Jesus said in verse 40, "Did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" I believe our answer to what do we do when it doesn't make sense? What do we do when we've experienced so many setbacks, so much pain, and so much loss? What do we do in that area? Well, I believe our answer is right here. "Did I not say to you?" In those few words, Jesus is trying to remind Martha about what he said. What do you do when it doesn't add up? The first thing you need to do is you need to remember what he said. You need to remember that he said at the beginning of the chapter that this was not going to end in death. What do you do when it doesn't add up? You go back to the word. No matter how many times you've experienced loss, no matter how many times you've experienced devastation, you need to remember what he said. He's telling Martha, "Did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" What do you do when it doesn't add up? You need to remember what he said. But not just remember what he said, you need to remember who he is. Because if you remember who he is and what he said, it will have the ability to bring back a lost faith. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that God has placed the Holy Spirit inside of us to remind us of what Jesus has said.
That's good.
So God is always trying to get you to remember what he said, and he's always trying to get you to remember that who he is. That he's not a man that he should lie. that if he spoke something, it's gonna come to pass. I know you've experienced a lot of hurt and you don't wanna go there anymore, but if you just remember that in his word he said he would heal your diseases, if you just remember that in his word he said that I wish above all that you may prosper in your health and in your wealth and in your soul, then you will experience that. You gotta remember, because remembering has the ability to bring back a lost faith. And if you'll remember who he is, and if you'll remember what he said, it will bring back a faith that you once had on that certain subject. Now, the whole Bible describes two things for me. When I read the whole Bible, I see two things that God is constantly trying to point out to us. Throughout all of Scripture, God is trying to point out two things. And even in the book of Revelation, it talks about this. That through the whole Bible, God is trying to prove that he's faithful and that he's truthful. That no matter what you've gone through, no matter what your past experience has shown you, you have to remember that God is faithful and that God is truthful. In the book of Revelation, it gives a description of Jesus. It says, the rider on a horse. It's talking about Jesus. And he said, his name is faithful and truthful. Because throughout all of Scripture, God is trying to remind us that no matter what you've gone through, I'm still going to accomplish in your life what I set out to accomplish. I know it's going to take a while. It took four whole days. Jesus stayed in the place four whole days, but he still did what he said he would do. And a lot of times we quit. Oh, you took four more days. I quit. Martha quit. She said, don't open that tomb, because what I see behind that tomb is a dead brother, and I don't want you to go there. But Jesus saw a live man. Jesus saw Lazarus awake. So what do you do when it doesn't add up? You got to remember. You got to remember what he said. You got to remember who he is. Because if you'll do that, it'll bring back a lost faith. And that faith will help you move forward into what God has for you.
That's good.
You want to move forward, you're going to have faith. And you're going to have to let go of the past. Life has taught you so many experiences. But if you're going to move forward, you're going to have to forget about those things. Paul talked about it. He said, I'm not a perfect man. But one thing I do is I let go of the past and I press on to what God has for me. If anybody has the right in a human sight to just stay where he's at and be devastated, it's Paul. Paul thought he was pleasing God by killing Christians. He was a murderer. How do you move on from doing the person he thought he was serving was the person he was actually hurting. He was hurting God. And he thought he was serving him. And after experiencing that, you would think Paul just would have just given up and said, no, I can't do anything for God. I hurt him. I killed his Christians. But he said, I press on. I have to forget about the past. Because if you remember, Jesus' blood is what cleanses your past. Remember in the book of Revelation, it talks about how we overcome. How do we overcome the obstacles? It says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That we overcome by forgetting all those things that we once had to go through. There's a reason you've gone through the things you've gone through. We either miss it, or somewhere along the line, we make mistakes and we've had to experience and had to endure heartbreaks, financial setbacks, spiritual setbacks. But just because you've experienced those things doesn't mean you can't move forward. The main thing that I wanted to show you today is right after he got Martha to remember what he said, you guys know the rest of the story, right? He went to the tomb. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus was alive. They were all excited. But the next thing I want to show you about Lazarus' life, that the reason Jesus stayed four more days is because Jesus didn't want to just come and heal a guy. If you guys look in some other scripture, you'll find that Jesus has been to Judea before. But the last time he was in Judea, he couldn't heal a lot of people. The Bible says that he could not, because that was his hometown. That was one of his hometowns. They knew him, and that all he was able to do was heal a couple of headaches. He wasn't able to do any miraculous things. So Jesus wasn't going to just come and heal Lazarus. He wanted to come and do something bigger. He wanted to come and do something better. He wanted to come and not just heal him, but he wanted to make him a sign, a wonder, and a miracle. In chapter 12, verse 9, it says, after Lazarus was awakened, after everyone got excited, in chapter 12, verse 9, it says, now a great many of Jews knew that he, being Jesus, was there and came, not for Jesus' sake only. So they didn't just come because Jesus was there, but they came that they might see Lazarus, the dead man, awake, because they knew he was dead for 4 days. Verse 10 says, but the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also. Verse 11 says, because on account of Lazarus, many of Jews went away and believed in Jesus. See, we go back to verse 5 and 6 where it says that he loved them, so he stayed. Why did he stay? Because he wanted to make Lazarus something bigger. So the reason you've experienced a great setback and the reason you've experienced so many failures is not because it was God's plan, but what the enemy meant for evil, God is going to turn it over for good. You see, this is our story. This is the Sanchez family story. We've experienced so many setbacks. You name it, we've been through it. But the fact that we are out here in Bakersfield starting a church after all the setbacks we've experienced is us moving forward after experiencing so many loss. The reason the Empowering Life Center is going to touch so many lives is because we've been through so much stuff. See, God will take your mess and he'll turn it into your message. What you've experienced, when you've experienced a financial setback, God wants to restore you so that he can turn you into a message, so that you can help somebody else. Do you remember Job? Job lost everything in the Bible, but he got double at the end. And we learn from Job's life that God is faithful and truthful. So that because you've experienced the things you've experienced, God is going to use you in a way that he couldn't do before.
That's right.
The reason Paul was so effective was because of his dirty past. Paul had a dirty, ugly past.
That's right.
But because of that, he was able to be effective for God. He was able to touch many people. Many people believed on Jesus because they said, Paul has turned a total new leaf. Paul has changed his life. He's serving Jesus. This guy must be true. The thing that God told me to say to you is that your greatest setback is becoming your greatest setup for God to move you forward to bring glory to him.
Sure.
Lazarus' greatest setback became Lazarus' greatest setup to bring glory to God. That what you went through is not for nothing. God is going to make sure that he doesn't waste anything in your life. If you've gone through something that was not his will, he's going to make sure that he's going to turn it around and use it for good if you'll let him. But the only way he can do that is for you to let go of the past and move forward. To let go of the experience that you've experienced with all the different setbacks and to move forward with what he has for you. You have to move forward. Everyone say forward.
Forward.
Does anybody want to move forward?
I want to move forward.
I want to move forward, man. I don't want my life to just stop right here because I've experienced a lot of setbacks and I'm just a 20-year-old kid. I've experienced what you guys have experienced. But after my setbacks, I don't want to stay here. Do you remember the Israelites last time, if you guys were here, I talked about how they stayed in the same place 40 years. They were not willing to move forward. Now, I want to move forward. I want to get on with my life. I want to forget about the past, and I want to move on to what God has for me. But the only way I do that is to remember that he's faithful, to remember that he's truthful, that no matter what has happened in your life, hear this, no matter what has happened in your life, God is going to turn it around, and he's going to use it for good if you'll let him. Does anybody want that? Does anybody want that?
I want that.
I want that, man. I want to move forward. I want my greatest setbacks to become my greatest setups. God can take what the enemy has meant for evil and use it for good. Everything that I've experienced, everything that my family has experienced, we are building a church. We're moving forward. We're forgetting about the past. But just because, listen, let me show you something that a teacher once showed me. This is really cool. Your life is like a paper, right? It's pretend this is a nice clean paper, okay? Now, your life is like a paper, and a lot of times when setbacks occur, it kind of just crumbles you up, right? How many of you guys feel devastated after a great setback? You just kind of feel shattered, you kind of feel crumbled up, and you just kind of feel like nothing, like you're useless. This paper is useless now. But when you let God do and use what the enemy meant for evil and turn around for good, he will restore you and bring you back. And this is what's cool about this, is that you can see there's still some wrinkles. There's still some scars. You can't just completely forget about your past. But God is going to use each and every scar, and he's going to use it to the effective working of his power. Paul was able to tell so many people about his testimony because God used what the enemy meant for evil and he turned it over for good. Paul was one of the greatest enemies of Christ, but he was also one of the greatest servants of Christ.
That's right.
Because he pressed forward. He said, I do one thing well. I'm not perfect, but the one thing I'm good at is I forget about the past,
right,
and I let God move me forward. Does anybody want to move forward?
Yeah.
Does anybody want to move forward?
Good, John.
So stand up on your feet. I'm just going to close real quick. I just want to pray over you. Today we don't have any music. We don't have any of that. I just wanted to, you know, kick it old school. The people in the Old Testament, they didn't need any of that. So I'm just going to pray over you, and I'm going to believe that God is going to take what the enemy meant for evil, and he's going to restore you. He's going to completely restore everything if you'll let him. You just got to remember that he's faithful and that he's truthful. If you can, lift up your hands as a sign of surrender to God. Father, we surrender our lives to you. God, we pray that if we've been through anything that we've experienced, I pray, God, you would begin to turn it over and use it for good. I pray, Lord, that you would move us forward into what you have for us. I pray, God, that any type of heartbreak, any type of financial setback, any type of thing that tries to bring us backward, I pray, Lord, you would use it as a better momentum. I pray, God, that you would use it to push us even more forward. God, we have a destiny, we have a plan, and I pray, God, that it would go according to what you have for us. I pray, Lord, that not one person in this room would stay in the same area. I pray, Lord, that not one person in this room under the sound of my voice would stay stuck in their past. Release everything that you've experienced. We declare that your word is what will shape our belief system. Your word is what will shape our theology. Not our experience, not our setbacks, but it is your word, Father. We receive your word. We receive your promises. We declare that we are moving forward. Everyone say this prayer with me. Say, God. Come on, say it with me. Say, God. We move forward.
Move forward.
To what you have for us.
To what you have for us.
Today.
Today,
I surrender
my past,
and I move forward with your help.
With your help.
We are moving
to
a bigger,
better,
place. A brighter future.
Brighter future.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Everyone says amen.
Amen.
Amen. You guys can go ahead and have your